You're listening to Thank You, Jesus, with Mika, only on LA Talk Radio.
The hand of the Lord is on you and on your life, no matter if you feel it or not. The truth is, come on, somebody, the truth is, you hearing these words is because the Holy Spirit invited you to this moment, into the bosom of God. So we thank you, Father God, for this moment. We magnify you, Lord God. We exalt your name, hallelujah. We praise your name, hallelujah. If this is your first, second, third, fourth, fifth, 129th time, okay, we didn't have that many shows yet, okay? But we are not coming to hear man talk. We're coming to get into the face of God. We're coming in to get into the presence of God. We're coming in great fear and reverence and humbling ourselves and bowing ourselves low so that God can be lifted high. Come on, somebody say, I lift you high today, God. Reba Shia, I lift you higher than the problems, and I lift you higher than the fears, and I lift you higher than the turbulence, and I lift you higher than the grief, and I lift you higher than the depression, and I lift you higher than the worries, and I lift you higher than the stress, and I lift you higher than the lack, and I lift you higher than the sickness that I feel and the pain, the financial sickness, the physical sickness. I lift you higher. Somebody needs to say that. I lift you higher. Oh, we lift you higher, Lord, today as we are entering into this Advent season. You know, we walk around, and some of us may say Jesus is the reason for the season, but do we really submit to this time that God gave his son so that we may have life? Let us slow down to this moment, because there's all the hustle and bustle. And even right now in the spirit, I can hear the hustle and bustle and the going to and fro and the rushing to the mall and buying presents and what I'm going to get for so-and-so and what they're going to get me. And I don't have enough of this. And why is this happening? And oh, I just got this bad news and all this stuff happening. Ooh, I hear in the spirit all this laughter happening, like celebration, 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 and putting stuff on high. All this noise. But where is the joyful noise for the Lord? So that's what we're doing today. Where's the joyful noise of the Lord? We're making a joyful noise. Listen, even in our silence, even in us getting before the Lord's presence and just in the silence, that's a noise, a joyful noise to God. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Some of us know we can be busy or there's a demand on us and people calling your name and emailing and being tugged and got to do this and lots of responsibility. And then you get into it just just peace. Ooh, I can just rest. That's a noise. That's a good noise. Sometimes we want to hear. Come on. I hear a good rest, a good noise of just being able to sleep in peace. Oh, okay, I just slept through the night. Come on, some of us having sleep issues in the season. I'm going to go back to the basics. Let's get back to the basics. Let's get into the humble place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Say, let's get into the humble place. There's a lot of this I, and what happened to me, and what didn't happen to me, and what I feel like, and what you said, and what you didn't say, and what you didn't do, and defending why we're angry and have an attitude, and defending why we are choosing to stay in a certain brokenness and defending it, unwillingness to change. Let us get back to the basics. That God, you are more important than even me. God, you are more important. Than the accolades and the accomplishments and the successes. God, you are more important than this dimness and darkness. God, you are more important. So let us turn to Jeremiah. And somebody say, God, you are more important. I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 11. And I'm going to read Jeremiah chapter 11 from the NRSV. Because as we enter into this Advent season, let us be of a posture of lamenting and repenting. Let us be in a posture of lamenting and repenting. I just saw like a mathematical equation, and lamenting plus repenting, it equals the fear of the Lord. Where is the fear of the Lord in the land? Where is the fear of the Lord in my people? I'm going to read it. Hallelujah, someone. I hear the Holy Spirit. Some of us in this season, okay, maybe it's one of us, a few of us, y'all know what I think. Okay, maybe it's just me. Okay. We're caring more about things. Not Jesus. Jesus. If Jesus didn't submit to the will of God, if Jesus didn't say yes to the will of God, we would not be celebrating. We would have nothing to celebrate. Jeremiah chapter 11. I'm going to read probably the whole chapter, okay? Because we need to spend mucho time with our nose in the living word. Because as we put our nose in the living word, I hear the Lord saying, it's the living word. Paul talks about putting on the armor of God, amen, in his epistles. And he says that the sword represents the word of God, amen. The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Let as we put our nose in the word of God, knowing that it is alive and knowing that it is real and knowing that it is sharper than any two-edged sword and knowing that it is the place of miracles, signs, and wonders. As we put our nose in the word of God, let the word of God circumcise the foreskins of our hearts. the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, chapter 11 of Jeremiah. Hear the words of this covenant and speak to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You shall say to them, thus says the Lord. Someone says, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed be anyone who does not heed the words of this covenant, which I commanded your ancestors when I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron smelter, saying, listen to my voice and do all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath that I swore to your ancestors to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as at this day. Then I answered, so be it, Lord. And the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I solemnly warned your ancestors when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, warning them persistently, even to this day, saying, obey my voice. Come on, somebody. This is about obedience. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone walked in the stubbornness of an evil will. Somebody say, AKA, not my will. Thine will be done. God's will be done. So I brought upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. Obedience. And the Lord said to me, conspiracy exists among the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their ancestors of old, who refused to heed my words. They have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken the covenant that I made with their ancestors. Therefore, thus says the Lord, assuredly I am going to bring disaster upon them that cannot escape. Though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to other gods to whom they make offerings, but they will never save them in the time of their trouble. For your gods have become as many as your towns, O Judah, and as many as the streets of Jerusalem are the altars to shame you have set up. Altars to make offerings to Baal. As for you, do not pray for this people or lift up a cry or prayer on their behalf, for I will not listen when they call to me in the time of their trouble. What right has my beloved in my house when she has done vile deeds? Can vows and sacrificial flesh avert your doom? Can you then exult? The Lord once called you a green olive tree, fair with goodly fruit. But with the roar of a great tempest, he will set fire to it and its branches will be consumed. The Lord of hosts who planted you has pronounced evil against you because of the evil that the house of Israel and the house of Judah have done, provoking me to anger by making offerings to Baal. We're going to stop right there. Come on, somebody. We're going to stop right there. We thank you, Lord God, for this word. Somebody say, this word is for the mature. Come on. Come on, this word is not about a feel-good word. It's about a get-right word. Come on, somebody. We more about the feel-good. I'm reminded we want the feel-good word. But what about the get-right word? I'm reminded last week the Holy Spirit said in Ephesians 5:10 that find out what's pleasing to the Lord. In the text that we just read, and in the book of Jeremiah, it's a book of the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, weeping, lamenting on behalf of the house of Israel, Jerusalem, and Judah, because they have turned away from God, entertaining other gods. Entertaining their own evil will. Why is it called evil? Why does God call it evil? Because it's not God's will. The book of Jeremiah is that of lamenting and a calling to repentance. And I believe that in this season, God is having us to lament and repent. Somebody say lament and repent. The Holy Spirit, as I was reading and preparing for this time, my spirit began to turn, and the Holy Spirit said that it's time that we get on our knees and our faces. We are more carnal than righteous. What makes us righteous? Following after the Lord. I'm reminded in this moment of Abraham, and the Bible declares that it was accounted his faith, his following after the Lord, his obeying God, his choosing to believe, even in the heights of having being told to go sacrifice your son. He believed, and it was accounted unto him as righteous. What is being counted unto us today? Carnality or righteousness? The Holy Spirit said that it is a time of us prospering in the Lord and not prospering in the world and prospering in things, being mindful and our heart being turned to prospering in the Lord. It's time for us to turn, because there's a greater concern regarding prospering in the world and prospering in things. When my Bible tells me in Matthew 6 and 19, I'm going to go ahead and drive on to it, because I want to read it. And I want to read it, hallelujah, from the King James Version. Thank you, Jesus. I'm pulling it up now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jeremiah 5.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust, hallelujah, somebody, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And as I was preparing this, God is wanting us to turn to a care and a desire to prosper in Him. God brought my attention, amen, as we all know, to look at what's happening in the world today. There's a pandemic that's happening that we're in the midst of, and a new variant, and things are on the rise. There's crime that's on the rise. There's news of storms and tornadoes. With all these things happening, there's wars in the government. There's division. There's deceit happening and oppression happening. There is an increase in depression and anxiety. There's an increase in self with our what's given social media to really really even reinforce that selfishness and that immediacy. Come on, that I want, that me, that selfish gain, doing stuff with the motive of self and not surrendering self in it. Putting self on the shelf to be there for somebody else and to do something for somebody else, even maybe in the midst of whatever is going on with you, with me, with us. These things that are happening and that we find ourselves in the midst of still still is not enough to bring us on our knees, to call to God, to lament and repent in this land, to say that this life is about something greater than me being well known and me exercising the gifts and the talents that God gave me, which I'm going to exercise anyway because God gave them to me. There's nothing, he's going to see that his word is accomplished. I believe all these things that's happening is God trying to get us, calling us to call out to him. But we're functioning in it like the world. We're just like, oh, this is what it is. Okay, but let me see how I can still advance, how I can still make it. Hallelujah, someone. We're functioning when the Holy Spirit says this is a time that we need to be calling out to God. We are walking around faithless, turning to and fro and turning to others like God is not able and like God is not equipped. It is not whether God is able. It is whether we are able to get on our knees and faces and repent and lament. It is about getting on our faces and seeing what God is saying, seeing what God is telling us to do. But we run into research and like say, for example, with the vaccine, is like, okay, well, I got to research and I got to do this. No, we got to get on our face. We're walking in our own wisdom when God is putting things right before us in broad daylight, but hidden it from us in broad daylight because we are not on our faces. And if this is not a message that you can stomach, okay. The Holy Spirit just says, leave it right there. I'm not here to please people and make people feel good. I'm here to please God and make sure that God is feeling good so that his goodness can shower us and bring us into the land flowing with the milk and honey. Amen. Like we read in Jeremiah 11. And so the Holy Spirit tells us, the Holy Spirit is saying to me that we are running to God for things. God bless me to advance and God increase me and God bless my living situation and God do this for me and God do this for that for me and God help me with this and God help me with that. But we're not running to God just for God. To go deeper and discover a greater peace and revelation, to see his miracle signs and wonders. He will address the surface level, but let's get out of the surface level and go deeper. Will you go deeper with me, saith the Lord? 'Tis the season for Christians, amen, for for us to celebrate Jesus. But the Holy Spirit says that some of us, one of us, a few of us, okay, maybe just me, we're running around trying to get the best deal and the best. And he said, we're robbing Peter to pay Paul for a Christmas gift. Come on, somebody. I shall tell when we need to, as we enter into this Advent season, get into a posture of lament and repent. And so what is Advent if we don't know? It is a period of preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. And for the preparation for the second coming of Christ. Have we forgot about the second coming of Christ? Have we forgot about the second coming of Christ? Have we forgot about he's returning? I'm being drawn back to the scripture about making sure that we store up our treasures in heaven. Because what are some of these earthly things? What are you going to do? What is it going to be? What is it even going to matter at the second coming of Christ? Are we standing on the right side? Are we standing on the side with Jesus? Because that is what's going to matter at the second coming of Christ. Are we in his will? Are we walking obediently? Are we in a posture of God, not my will, thine will be done? Are we in a posture of daily dying to self? The Bible says, take up your cross and follow Christ. Romans 12 tells us to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Because after doing that, we begin to discover what his good and perfect acceptable will is for us. Again, a will to prosper us and a will to bring us into a land of flowing with milk and honey, a will of peace, a will of joy. What is the meaning of lament? What is it to lament? Lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. It is a wailing, a moaning, a groaning, amen, a action of feeling or voicing regret. But that by itself is not enough. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Because we can lament and then get back and do the same ungodly type of behaviors. And we can lament and then get back up and continue in our own evil and wicked ways, our fleshly ways, our carnal ways, our selfish ways. Come on. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you, Jesus. We need to get into this passionate place of moaning and groaning, not just for ourselves, but for our neighbors. And just now when I heard that, not just for, come on, our neighbors, but I even heard it like white people groaning for black people, amen, and black people groaning for, come on, somebody, yeah. Action of feeling and voicing regret, repenting, then turning and then taking it further and saying, I repent. What is repent? It's turning away from sin. Turn away from the past course of action so as to reform. And I even hear that the Holy Spirit is saying that some of us, one of us, okay, maybe just me, need to turn away from what happened in the past. And even if you got to keep turning away, amen, by keep going on your face and keep going on your face. Every time you get back up, you get up a little bit stronger and go back down. I see it like a fueling. You don't get fuel at the beginning of the year and put it in your heart and be like, okay, this is going to be good for the whole year. Okay, this is going to be good for my whole next 10 years. I mean, if it is supernatural, oh, God can provide supernaturally, and hallelujah. I'm not saying he can't. Okay? But you keep going back. We go one time we go, and then it's all done, and like, what's happening, God, and what's wrong? No, we keep going back. Somebody said, keep going back. Keep going back. I'm reminded even in prayer and Jesus speaking on prayer, amen, in the Synoptic Gospels and bringing up the widow woman who kept going back to the unjust judge. We go one time, two times, three times, 10 times. We go maybe a year or 2 years good, thinking that we did something and it didn't happen and it's not going according to our plan. Then when we turning away from God. No, we keep going back. We keep going back because there's more than what the surface of what we know. There's more that God is doing on deeper levels, so that once we up. And does that make sense? Once we up. Okay. All throughout Jeremiah, God is calling. And I know the scripture, that the chapter that we just read, it's a hearty one and it's a meaty one, amen. And then you need the Holy Spirit to be able to discern and understand, because it says some things about God. God's not going to answer. God will not listen to them. God's going to destroy. But let us get into the context and see what's going on and what's happening and why now God is at this point. Because also I want you to know that in these scriptures in Jeremiah, God also is lamenting that his people have turned from him. Amen. He's mourning his people, my people. He calls my people. You see through the Old Testament him saying my people. But now his people, he's calling, like in verse chapter 13, verse 10, evil people who refuse. Listen, check this out. Let's slow it down. Let's take this in. Come on, y'all. Somebody needs to say, I'm going somewhere. I'm going into the depths, and I'm going into heights. So that I can discover what's past this natural and what's been revealed to the natural. Let's look at it. 13 and 10. He says, this people who refuse to hear my words, who stubbornly follow their own way and have gone after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall be like this loincloth. He's calling them this people. Why? Because they've turned away from him. They're following after other gods, doing other things. And that's still real today in 20 and 21. Hello? Hello? And I believe that is on an all-time high, because it's even the Holy Spirit. Let me even see it on TV. People talking about having their Bible and having crystals. No! God is more than enough. Having God and entertaining other things, entertaining horoscopes, entertaining, come on, somebody. in chapter 15, verse 1, he calls them this people. Amen. This people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, someone. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody say thank you, Jesus. Let's look at verse chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. You can write it down and go back and look at it. Chapter 9, verse 13 and 14. And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law that I set before them and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accordance with it, but have stubbornly followed their own hearts, have gone after the Baals as their ancestors taught them. Jeremiah 9 in chapter verse 7, he calls them a sinful people. God is calling his people, begging for his people to turn back to me, to trust me, to believe in me, to set your hope in me. Today, God is calling his people to come to me, to set your hope in me, to believe me, to trust me, to know that I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ever ask, think, or imagine. But yet, maybe we fall a little bit short because we think, oh, I got to go over here on the left. They did X, Y, and Z, so I'm going to have to do that. And I'm going to have to take on, I hear God saying, taking on labels. Amen. Hallelujah. I got to define what this is. And then I got to entertain these other ways of coming into healness and wholeness. Come on, somebody. When God just simply wants us to turn to him and know he is able. In Jeremiah 6 and 28, I want us to hear what God's people are called when they are stubborn and rebellious. Six 28 says they are all stubbornly rebellious, going about with slanders. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 4, he calls for them to return, O faithless children, that even as he's calling them to return, look at this. He's calling them faithless, but look at the mercy and the love that God has for us. He said, I will heal your faithlessness. I will heal your faithlessness. Faithlessness is a problem. There's a sickness. There's a greater pandemic, children of the Most High, brothers and sisters of God. The greater pandemic is the faithlessness. Jeremiah 7:26, he calls them stiff-necked. What is the medicine? What is the cure to this disease of faithlessness? Because God is making me aware that we Christians, I want to say believers. Come on, we believers, because we believe it shapes and it molds our entire life. It changes our entire life. It changes the way I think. It changes the way I talk. It changes the way I interact. Come on, the Bible says that we love our neighbor as ourselves. Can I tell the difference between Christians and non-Christians when I close my eyes? Can I hear the difference in the way you talk? Our believers, come on, our believers, are we talking, amen, that of love and that of the selflessness, or are we consumed with self just like the world? loving our neighbor as ourselves may mean that sometimes, okay, just a little simple example, that sometimes, although I want to talk about me in this whole conversation, I'm gonna first say that, and let's talk about you. Let's do for you in this season of giving. The Bible tells me that it is better to give than to receive. It's better to give than to receive. How is my giving? What is the condition of my giving? I believe that we do Jeremiah 4:4 tells us to do, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Remove the foreskins of your hearts. O people of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, O people of 20 and 21, circumcise the foreskins of our hearts. 4:14 says, O Jerusalem, wash your heart clean of wickedness so that you may be saved. Let us wash our hearts clean. Let us, in our place of lamenting and repenting, let us circumcise the foreskins of our hearts. Let us have a soft, supple heart that is flexible, and that's a yes to God. Let us return to the Lord. And maybe for some of us, we're not getting what does this mean? I'm walking with God. Amen. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit is letting me know that we have a blending that's happening, and we're blending our Christian walk, our believing walk, with blending into the world and looking like the world and conforming to the world when we should be conforming to Christ. Apostle Paul, there's a scholar, a theologian, a man who coined the term a cruciformity. That we are conforming to Jesus came and he was crucified, amen, that we come into that. And there's a dying of self that we do daily. We rejoice both in the death and the resurrection of God. We want to experience the resurrection, the life more abundantly, the power, but we don't want to experience that same death that Jesus experienced. Not in the ways that Jesus experienced, but there's some crucifying of our own lives to see the resurrecting power of God in our lives. Where is, I desire to see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. Where I desire to see, amen, the power, the healing power, resurrecting power of God, that people are running to churches, amen, to be healed of sickness and disease, to be healed, amen, of bondage, to be healed from the bondage of wheelchairs, to be healed, amen, from cancers and tumors, to be healed supernaturally. It is possible. It is possible. Maybe our blending, amen, have resulted in a lack of seeing God's miracles, signs, and wonders. I am being reminded right now of one of God's servants, Amy Simple McPherson, who back in the 20s and 30s, amen, and sometime in that during that time, hallelujah, God's miracle working power was moving through her in that ministry, and people would come in wheelchairs and leave walking. Why is that not available to us today? It is available. It is available. It is available. Jesus was not able to do many miracles in his hometown with his people. Why? Because they did not believe. Let's rise up, believers. Believers. I'm calling you believers. That were not easily swayed and not easily knocked down. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Listen to my voice and do all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath that I swore to your ancestors to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as at this day. I again say to you, listen to my voice. Whose voice? God's voice. Listen to my voice. How will we know his voice? How do we hear his voice if we are not on our faces, if we're not in a place of lamenting and repenting and turning back to God? In Jeremiah, he says, real fast, he says that their perversions are before me. They turned away. So guess what happened? You turn away from God, but your perversions are before him. No, I want to be before God. I want to be in his face. I don't want my back to him. We don't want our backs to God in this time. Listen to my voice and do all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath that I swore to your ancestors to give them a land flowing with milk and honey. This is what God desires. When we are God's people, as we are God's people, when he calls us his people, his children, there's not a thing we have to worry about. Not that we're not going to see it. It's not that we're not going to hear it or smell it or feel it. But what I hear louder and what I smell even stronger and what I see even brighter is God and his miracle signs and wonders. And in this 2021 and entering into 2022, what I see brighter and I hear louder and I smell stronger and I feel greatly is God's power, his miracle signs and wonders. In Jesus' name, he is able to do all things. So let us get in his face, conform to his will, and see his miracles, signs, and wonders. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift his countenance towards you, and give you his peace. Yaverekika Adonai Veshmerecha, Yaer Adonai Panavalacha Vikoneka, Yisa Adonai Panavalacha Veyasim, Lacha Shalom. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Next week, same time, 2 p.m. Let's grow, let's get in his face, and let's experience those miracles, signs, and wonders. God, we thank you!
You You're listening to Thank You, Jesus, with Mika, only on LA Talk Radio.